Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of your 1 hour inspirational program. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for simply the next 60 minutes. We have a very good show planned for you tonight. I think you're going to enjoy tonight's broadcast. Daring Dee Dee, we've got some noise in your background, but we're going to go ahead and bring you in. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daring Dee Dee. Daring Dee Dee, is always a pleasure and joy to have you on board with us. Good evening.
Well, good evening, TGIF, and I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
All right, excellent. We're certainly looking forward to having you. Let's go ahead and bring in another one of our co-hosts. We're so happy to have Sir Benny with us tonight. Sir Ben, thank you for joining us and taking time out.
Good evening, good evening. It's happy Friday. I'm excited to be with you all. I'm at the airport. I'm getting to leave again, but I'm going to stay as long as I can stay.
All right, good. We're certainly happy to have you, and we wish you safe travels. All right, so here we go on tonight's topic. If you just joined us, why do you think God said it is not good that the man should be alone? It is not good that the man should be alone. Let's ask God to come into our program. Father in heaven, we thank you, O Lord God on high. We invite you into our program tonight. We ask that you would be with us, guide, direct, lead us, encourage us, O Lord, as we worship you in spirit and truth. Give us the knowledge that we're looking for. Help us to take more from it than we bring to it. In Christ's name we pray and thank you. Amen. All right. Having said that, Sir Ben, let's begin with you. Why do you think God said it? It's not good that the man should be alone. Why do you really think he said that?
Well, I'm going to probably upset a lot of people, but just bear with me. God said that because he realized that he was not enough for Adam. Now, I know that's going to throw a lot of people off. I understand that. But he realized something, that everything else had something else, but Adam didn't. And so what I'm saying is, Adam didn't ask God for Eve. He didn't even know he needed a Eve. He was not even in the requisition to even protest to God. Hey, guy, everybody else got somebody. Why don't I have it? No. God to himself said, hey, you need somebody because I realize that I am not enough. And by not being enough, if I give you somebody, you'll have someone to share in me, with me, about me.
All right. Well, you know, that's fair enough. So what you're saying then is that God was not enough for Adam? Are you there?
Yes, he realized that he, when I say not enough, see, God is always sufficient, but he realized that man needed more. And so when God realizes something, it's not the same as our humanistic way of understanding. Our minds are too basic to understand what I just said, in the sense that God understood, because God understands all things. Well, he is a God who sees everything. So he saw what Adam needed going forward. And as a matter of fact, if we look at life itself, we either do two things. We either marry a person and become in a communion with that person, or we marry a community and we become a part of that community. In either case, we need something to keep us connected to people. And that was his whole rationale behind why he said it's not good for man to be alone.
All right. So, all right. Interesting. All right. That's a very interesting perspective. We're going to bring this in a moment, but Marjorie Cross, we want her to come in and give a commercial break real quick. Ms. Cross, you can go ahead, and we're going to give you an opportunity to make your commercial break once Ms. Shea comes in. Ms. Shea, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always a pleasure and honor to have you on board with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Friday, everyone, and I'm glad to be here. And I'm interested to see what everybody has to say on this topic. It's an interesting one.
Excellent. All right. Marjorie Cross, we wanted to go ahead, allow you to press 1 on your dial so we can bring you in here and give you an opportunity for your commercial break. So while she's, let's go ahead and do that now. Ms. Cross, we're going to go ahead and give you the commercial break. All right.
Okay.
Ms. Cross.
Okay. Good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening to all your co-hosts and to everyone on the line. My name is Mark Allen Cross. I'm a nurse, and I'm also a health and wellness consultant with one of the most leading companies in the world. We are A-plus on the Better Business Bureau for the past 20 years, and we have over 150 health products that may be able to help you. So you could give me a call at 786-319-7223. Again, my number is 786-319-7223. Or you could visit the website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. Thank you, Dr. Walker.
All right, and certainly thank you. God bless you. Why do you think, Ms. Cross, that God said it's, that it's not good that man should be alone? Why do you think God said that? And we have several scenarios that we're going to get to tonight.
Yeah, because, you know, like when he made the world, he said it's not good for them to be alone. He just wanted to give the man a partner, give the man a partner. That's why he made Eve, you know, so he just wanted them to have some companionship. That's the way I see it.
All right. I think Benny touched on it very well when he said that that as God looked over this and he saw that he needed someone that he could relate to, and so he made someone suitable for him. So there indeed he when God said he would make a helpmeet that's suitable for the man, what was he really talking about? He'll make someone suitable for the man.
Yeah, well, a helper. And I guess there's a little bit of information in Genesis 2:18 that tells us that the Lord, God said, it is not good for man to be alone, and will make a suitable, a helper suitable for him. I think you know, I was contemplating, thinking about, you know, back in the old days, you know, men hunt and the women tend to camp and cook and make the clothes and that kind of stuff. So I think that they really help each other in that aspect. Or back in the farm days when, you know, the men were out tilling the crops and the women were tending to the house, you know. So it's kind of like a team, a helper.
We can hear you very well.
Oh.
Ms. Jay, are you there?
Oh, did you hear?
Yes, I'm
here. Darren Deedy, go ahead and, Darren Deedy, go ahead and give us some more of your thoughts on that.
Oh, okay. I don't know where I was. I cut off. I think I was on mute or something. But no, in Genesis, it talks about giving him a helper. It's not only just companionship, but it's kind of like a team. Back in the, you know, wilderness then, you know, they were out, you know, catching the animals and collecting food, and she keeps camp, and they did the same thing back in the horse and buggy day where the men were out tilling the crops and the women were maintaining to the food and making clothes and that kind of stuff. So it's just a helper. It's a team, a buddy system, if you want to call it.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. We've got several scenarios that have come in here. But before we get to those, Ms. Jay, let's find out. When God said it's not good that man should be alone, has any of that transitioned to the day's time where we say, well, it could also apply to the woman, that the woman should not be alone? What do you think about that?
Yes, well, I'm going to back up a little bit. I think he said that because, you know, he made all other creatures, and when he made these creatures, he made them a mate. So then he decided, you know, Adam needed a mate. He has, you know, like all the creatures, you know, and for his main purpose, what he tasked us with, to multiply and to, you know, and to make the humanity grow. So, yes, that's still today, you know, a man, a woman, everybody needs that helpmate, that that person that's there for them, to be there for them, to show how important they are, to work with them, to be one as one. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. And, yeah, so that applies today, you know. And I feel God still wants everybody to have someone. I really do. But like
right.
y'all think, the suitable person. That's the key word, I think, because you said that word, suitable.
Right. Okay, so, Ms. J, let me ask you, what makes a person, in your opinion, suitable? It's not just anybody, but suitable. What makes a suitable person? So I guess we're looking at the definition of suitable.
One, similar, likes, compatibility, have the same desire in life, the growth. You know, the purpose, have the same purpose, somebody that's suitable with the same goal
okay.
and purpose.
All right. Sir Ben, let's bring you in here along the same lines of questions. What do you think was suitable? Someone that's suitable. He didn't just say, I will make a helpmeet for him, but I will make a person who's suitable.
Well, you know, that's an interesting term to, that's an interesting term to use when you say suitable. I mean, let's just look at Eve. Eve was made to perfection of what God had designed for a woman to be. And yet, still, there was a debacle in that. So even in that debacle, there was suitability in that. But it wasn't what we would consider to be an ideal situation. I mean, if I told you, you know, Dr. Jesse, you're going to marry this woman, and she's going to create this situation for you, it's going to turn your whole world upside down, and everybody affected by you, your children, and every generation out there is going to be affected. Would you consider that to be suitable?
No.
So
I mean,
suitability is not probably the right word that we should be using. Sometimes.
So let's just talk about. Go ahead.
Let's talk about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham. We're gonna talk two people real quick. We'll talk about Abraham and Sarah, and we'll talk about Job and his wife. Now we know Job had a great wife. She, you know, gave him, you know, several 10 kids, and they had a successful business and did everything right. But when it came down to when she said that to curse God and just die. Was that a suitable response from a woman who had been so, you know, instrumental in your life and your works and your children and your success? Same thing with Sarah. Abraham, you know, I'm too old to have a kid. You know that. But I tell you what, go with the handmaid. She's younger. She's viable. Have a baby with her. Would that be considered suitable? So sometimes what we think is suitable is not necessarily what it really is. What it is God has a plan for us to have a relationship. When I said there's two things we're going to have as humans, we're going to have either community or we're going to have marriage. We're going to be instrumental in a relationship somewhere. So what I'm saying is that God has a plan for us that is designed to create generational people that are going to be greater than we can ever imagine now. As you know, that Abraham had a son that was literally going to be the generation of people to change the world. So sometimes God will put us in a situation that is for his glory and his benefit way down the road. That's what I see. God designed a plan for us to have. You have your children are going to have some children, and in that children somewhere, there's going to be a great, great, great person that's going to come out of that, and God's going to use them to his benefit to fulfill a need. But we don't know that until it actually happens or occurs. So it's a suitable situation for God. It might not be suitable for us in our way we think about it.
All right, so now, Darren D, I want to bring you back in here. And then Ms. J as well. because now we're talking about the word suitable, the word suitable. And Sir Ben, you said that maybe that's not the word we should be using in these times. Would God's words change from, and let me go back to Sir Ben just for a second. Would his words change from back then to now to modify, enrich, or enhance our knowledge of today?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, everything God does is suitable to him. I mean, for instance, when Jesus was born, he came to a woman that had not had intercourse with a man and had a husband-to-be that was going to be her suitable husband to take care of her. And yet, was that a suitable situation? No. This woman's pregnant. Talking about the Holy Spirit did it and da-da-da-da. And the husband's like, oh, my God, what are they going to say? So everything in life happens for a specific reason and a specific time for the glory of God. And if we could just embrace that for a moment, if we could just not look at our lives as being a catalyst for what we think it's supposed to be and see it as a glorification for what God wants it to be. Everybody's not going to stay together for 50 and 60 years. Some people ain't going to stay together for 60 seconds, but there's going to be a time where he's going to get the glory in that because there's a reason that he allows things to happen. It might not be understood by us, but when we look back over our lives and say, you know what? We could talk about David. David was king, but before he became king, he served under three kings, and even though he knew he was going to be king, he still had to be submitted. So life is not what we think it is. It is what God's plan for us is.
All right, Miss Jay, let me bring you in here before we go to Darren Dee Dee. Miss Jay, God says that not one word of his will be altered, and I'm paraphrasing here, or changed. So if we're saying, if it's being said that God said back in that time, I will make a helpmeet suitable for him, then wouldn't that same word be prevalent today, that I want you to have a helpmeet that's suitable for you? Wouldn't that be the same word, except we might just say, well, what we call suitable might be the chemistry, the compatibility. But he also mentions, he doesn't talk about chemistry. Well, he does in a paraphrasing way when he talks about not being equally yoked. So let me say my question to you is, would God change his words when he said he would not? If he said, I will make a helpmeet suitable for you, Adam, then why would he change his words today? Or would he, really?
I don't think he would, and I don't have any problem using the word suitable because I would like a helpmate that's suitable for me. You know, I have no problem with that word. That was his word, and it could be standing and be mine also. I can say compatible to me or one with chemistry. I can add on some more, but I don't want to leave out suitable.
Okay, all right, certainly. Darren Dee Dee, I want to bring you in here. So now we look at suitability, suitable. Then does that have to do with being equally yoked? Suitable.
I would agree. I agree with what everybody's saying, but suitable, yeah, like a yoke, yeah. Perfect, like a match. It's a pair. And like I had said earlier, it's a team, you know, partner, suitable. Yeah. I think they're equal.
Right.
I really don't think man should be higher or over the woman as the world tends it to be.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to take some of the scenarios that come in. We're already past a quarter of the way of being on the show tonight. We still have a lot to cover. Ms. Cross, I want to bring you back in here in just for a second and say, Ms. Cross, with all that we know that God presents to us, why do we still get it wrong? And we still, even though he told us he would make a helpmeet suitable for us, that's the guideline to follow. Within that word suitability could come equally yoked because he talks about that. We could talk about compatibility. We could just start looking at sub words to go with this. So then my question becomes, Marjorie Cross, why do we get it wrong? Why do we, instead of us looking for someone who's suitable for us, we get the wrong person when we know those red flags are there?
Well, all I could say, we are human, so when we talk to someone, we don't know how the relationship is going to work out. We have to try to get to know them. You know, so for some people, it may take a longer time to find out about them. Some people, it doesn't take a long time. Sometimes, maybe after a few days or months, you realize that this person is really not for you. You know, but some people, it takes a longer time. Some people, it takes a shorter time. But then whoever you choose, you know, right away, as I said, you may know. You may have the feeling, or you may not know if this person is the right one for you. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of time to find out. But, you know, it's like, yeah, sorry.
No, wait, finish your thought.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, but you won't know. Sometimes they say you really don't even know a person. Sometimes you live with them for years and still don't know them. You know, so you just have to choose somebody and hope that it will work out good, you know? So
yeah, but see, that's the hope. So the thing is, so Ms. Carson, if I'm hearing you correctly, here we are. We see the red flags. Mm-hmm. We fall in love. Now all of a sudden it's too late. You just can't turn it off and on like that. Now you got all of these emotional problems that are going on because you're wondering, why is this person like that? When right at the beginning, the person was not suitable for you. God chose that word suitable. You know, why do you think God said it's not good that a man should be alone? And then he said, I will make a helpmeet suitable. He put that in that word in there for a specific reason. So now, Ms. Cross, we see the red flags that you know that person is not suitable. We even tell our children sometimes, that's not the one. We're speaking to the word suitable. That's not the suitable person for you. But they do it anyway. Are they any different from us? Because we didn't listen.
Right. But that's the thing, though. At first, you know, the person may not seem suitable, and you just decide that I'm just going to give them a little more time. Maybe they'll be more suitable. But if it's like red flag where you want to be abusive, things like that, it depends on what he's doing. You know, because if it's somebody who is abusive, and so that's different. Some things you may try to see could you work on, but something like physical abuse and things like that right away you see the red flag, that's it. I wouldn't really put up with things like that. But there are certain things you say, oh, well, you know, maybe I could work on this, or we could work on this together, you know, and try to be in one accord. You know, so that's the reality.
Right. We're going to take some of the scenarios that will come into the studio. Excuse me. All right, first scenario. This one comes in, and Sir Ben, we'll give you this one. Why do you think God said that it was not good that man should be alone? He says, well, as I see it, after God made all the animals, and someone said it on the air tonight, he already knew that man needed someone suitable for him that man could relate to. Now, Sir Ben, why is it that and you said earlier that, and you said, and I quote, that it may offend some people, but God was not enough for Adam. So here we go with the word relate. Was it that God needed to create Eve so that Adam could relate to her? Because not so much that God was out of reach, but God was so superior. So man needed someone on his level. Sir Ben, speak to that based on this scenario.
Well, as we know that Adam had already had a job. He had a task. He was naming everything. He was watching and giving, you know, attention to everything on the earth before Eve ever came into play. So what I'm saying is that we're looking at this from a humanistic standpoint of view. Yes, God said, I'm going to make you a suitable mate, but remember the important word. God said it. A lot of times when we go pick our mates, it's us. How many times do we really go and say, hey, God, is this a person for me? I'm going to wait until you give me an answer. We don't really do that anymore. And I come to the conclusion that he had made, listen, every woman that was made was designed to be a helpmate. We may not always see it or understand what it is, but from the beginning of her life, she's learning how to be a helpmate because It's in her DNA. She was designed for that. So she might be helping a joker that ain't no good, but she's still being a helpmate. She might be involved with a relationship with someone that don't give a dang about her, but she's still a helpmate. She may be helping a parent, a mother. Her job was designed to be a helpmate. So it is innate in her. Every woman on this line tonight is designed to be a helpmate. Even if you're the boss, you're still a helpmate because you could be a boss in your job and a helpmate to your husband, so or boyfriend or significant other or whoever. So it is designed that way. And so therefore, God's plan is always perfect. It is us who get out of his design plan. And sometimes he still pulls us back into the design, but it is really us that get out of his design plan.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. Missy, I want to bring you in here. Missy, do you see it that same way that every woman that was created was to be a helpmate to a man?
You know, it's funny you said that. I was just thinking when Benny was talking. Is every woman, did God fix it for every woman to actually get a man a helpmate? I don't think so sometimes because I look at all these single women in the world, and why is it that they're still single? A lot of times they get disgusted, I think, and then they'll holler, well, I don't need a man. I don't know whether they're being cursed from saying that or what. But, you know, is every woman supposed to have a helpmate? I mean, do God intend for every woman to have one? That's what I'm trying to ask the question. I don't know.
All right, so my thought is if every woman was created, that was her role to be a helpmate, then would it infer, Darren Dede, I want to come at you with this one. Wouldn't that infer, because there's such a disproportion to men and women, wouldn't that perhaps suggest or infer that women are not complete without a man because they have no one to be a helpmeet to? If every woman were created to be the helpmeet for men, I see it totally differently. I'm not so certain that every woman that was created to be a helpmeet to a man. Darren Dede, how do you see it?
I think you're right on point. I like the era, I'm a woman, hear me roar. But I don't actually think that every man needs a woman. It's just that the two need to mesh because, you know, opposites do attract. So we're opposite in certain ways. But, I'm kind of on both sides of the fence for that.
Can I make a correction? Go ahead. Go ahead. Sir Ben, go ahead.
Okay, so let me go back to that original statement. I said every woman was designed to be a helpmate. Now, I did not specifically say to a man. A helpmate could be to a child, to a boy, to any it could be any male. It could be to a person in the hospital. It could be in any capacity, any form. It's just that's in her DNA to be a helper, to her uncles, her nephews. It could be to anybody. It doesn't have to be specifically to a man that she has to marry. It is just who she is. They raise our children. How many women have you seen? Okay. How many women that you grew up with that were helping? They didn't have no man, but they helped raise all the kids on the block. They helped them in the schools. Most of our teachers growing up were not men. They were women. So the majority of us were raised by women that were not our mother. They were a helpmate to us growing up from first grade all the way through high school. So that's what I'm saying when I say a helpmate. I'm not definitively saying it has to be a man, but it is a help to a young man, a boy, a child, a baby, even an old man. When I go to nursing homes, I see a bunch of young women helping these old men and, you know, helping them get through and get to their place and feed them. That's still being a helpmate, but not in the sense of we're thinking. Not a helpmate like a companionship. Really? You know what? It is a companionship. Because if you're raising my son, you're being in companionship with my son to make sure he's okay. If you're raising my daddy and he's in a nursing home, you're a companion to him to help make sure he's getting away and getting along and getting to do his right thing. So, yes, it is a relationship.
All right, we're going to ask you to certainly stand by. Marjorie Cross, I want to bring you in here. Marjorie Cross, let me just ask you, do you think that women are just naturally helpmate or helpmeet, even if it's not to a man, it's to something? Or are we getting perhaps it mixed up with the innate abilities of a woman to be that, because she is the one that produces? Is it that we might be getting it mixed up with the fact that a woman, her innate character or traits are to be nurturing? And that's the makeup of a woman, to nurture.
Yes, yes, Dr. Walker. I think a woman, you know, that is her nurturing ability. She is a helpmate, not necessarily, as you said, to a man. It could be to anybody, you know, whether helping the sick, helping the poor, helping the needy, not necessarily to a man, you know. But I think because of, as you say, her nurturing ability, she has that that ability in her to nurture anyone that she comes across. And as I say, not necessarily a man.
Okay, so two questions, Ms. Jay, and I want to pose one of those to you. The first one is a woman complete without a man? But before we go to Ms. Jay to answer that, I want to go back to Marjorie Cross and say, okay, so can a man also be have certain traits of nurturing? He doesn't reproduce like that, like he doesn't give birth to someone, but couldn't he have those characteristics where he can be nurturing, just like a woman?
Yes.
You're a nurse saying this.
Yes. I think a man could be also, because you have a lot of men out there who doesn't have children, but they act as a father to maybe their friend's children or a girlfriend's children or their wife's children, you know, but they're not necessarily a father. So I think a lot of men could be very nurturing. Some of them more nurturing than the actual father themselves. So there's a lot of men out there who are very nurturing also, not just a woman, a man also. That's the way I feel.
Okay, all right. So, Ms. Jay, let's go to you. Let's go to you with your thoughts that I asked you earlier. Go ahead.
Yes, I think a woman can be complete without a man. You know, it's wonderful to have the love of a man and the partnership of a man, but a woman should have her individualism, you know, and be able to, her own goal and desire in life and everything, and not be dependent on an individual. Mm-hmm. So, yes, a woman can be complete without a man.
Yeah.
Okay, so if a man, can a man be complete without a woman, Ms. Jay? Can that man be complete without a woman?
He should be. But,
how do you,
you know, at some point they may have that desire for the one another. You know, that desire probably still be there, but you still can be complete. But,
that's,
you know,
right,
you might have that desire for the opposite sex or whatever, but, you know, you can live as a productive and good and Christian and loving life without the opposite sex.
Okay, so if men, we usually have these lines that we use, and they're not necessarily lies, but we have these words that we say to, we're fishing and to lure a woman into our, I'm not going to call it a trap because that's not what our intents are always out there for, but it's to reel them in, to win their heart, to win their love for us. So we have these lines. So we will tell a woman, you know, listen, girl, you're the air that I breathe. You're just everything to me. I can't see myself living without you. It, you know, it's just, you take my breath away. So, Ms. Jay, when we're saying these things, does that suggest or infer that we're incomplete? I mean, those are the lines that we use to lure you in. You're every breath that I breathe.
Well, for me, I think it's a lot of... I don't even listen to it because I think it's a lot of junk. You know, I don't believe what he's saying, because you don't have to come on to me like that to convince me that you like me. I think it's a little bit too much.
Ms. Jay,
and that would not lure me in at all.
Ms. Jay, you're starting something now. And Ms. Jay, I got to go back, because now, Ms. Jay, are you telling me, is that who you are now as opposed to when you were in high school? If that guy came along to you, huh?
Always.
Okay,
if a guy come to me with those lines like that, I walk away. I've always been that way. I don't go for the okie doke. I never have. That's my strength, I guess. I've never gone for the okie doke.
Miss J, those are some of my best lines. And are you telling me that you would have just...
I tell you, you need to work on it. And come on, let's talk about something more current events or something that's intelligent to impress me. Because the lines don't impress me. Never have.
Oh, so, Miss J, what impresses you when God talks about it's the suitable for the help meet? What
a
impresses
guy
you,
with
Ms.
a lot of foolish lines might not be suitable for me. Because that means that he likes to do all that kind of stuff that's not my taste. So he's not suitable for me. Because he said to me, go say it to the other girl just to see whoever he could get. He's superficial.
So,
he's not real. That's the way I'm sorry.
So Ms. J,
I
got to ask you
I don't
this.
Like all those lines. I'm sorry.
I got to ask you, because we're talking about suitability now. Ms. J, in high school or college, what line caught your attention from the guy that you dated that really you fell in love with or a husband who you ultimately love? What caught your attention? Come on, Miss Day.
His intellect. I'm going to be honest with you. When you start talking about something worth talking about, don't give me them lines. Baby, you looking good today. Oh, I love the way you. Don't come off to me like that when you first see me. Let's just have a conversation. You know, if you even lying about wanting to know where a class was. You know, and then I could help. Oh, yeah, you take English, too? Come, let's start talking about something else. I never liked lines, bottom line.
You didn't like lines. Okay, Sir Ben, I got to bring it in here because, I mean, this is, I mean, we're staying on subject, you all, suitability we're talking about. But this is the first I've ever heard in my life where a woman didn't, these pickup lines that she just doesn't subscribe to. So here's the thing I'm saying. So if I'm asking you a question. I see you in the hallway. Miss J, I want to bring you in. Sir Ben, I want you to throw your, you know, come in with it. Miss J, I see you in the hallway, and it's like, I want to talk to that lady over there. And so we already know what we want to talk to you. So I say, excuse me, you're talking to some other people. I say, you know what? I'm sorry, but your parents must have been terrorists because, girl, you are the bomb. Or a line like, you know, heaven has to be missing an angel because you are really right here, right now. Miss J, you wouldn't smile about that in front of your friends
I would be laughing, Dr. Walker. I would be like, oh, man, come on. You know, or if you told me that my hair was nice, something like that, I'd say, okay, thank you. And then I just keep it moving. Because, you know, but no, I'm sorry. I'm not that lady. Those lines turn me off, always have.
Okay, so lines don't turn you off. So, but I guarantee you, if I walked up to you and you with your friends, I don't know you, and I say, whoa, girl, you must have been through a hurricane because you look like you got a bad hair day. Now what you going to say, Miss J?
I'm going to say, I think you need to kind of turn around and step off, because you talking to the wrong one right now.
So,
I don't like rudeness either.
So the lines are going to catch you. Either they're favorable lines or unfavorable, but I guarantee you if I use that line about, girl, you must have been through a hurricane because you got to look like you're having a bad hair day, I guarantee you would have remembered me on campus.
I sure will, and I won't have nothing to do with you. I'm saying this is the most rudest guy I ever seen. I don't know where he comes from. I wouldn't have nothing to say to you. We are not suitable. We are not suitable. You don't know how to talk to a lady.
You're giving me all that attention. You allow
you don't
me
know
to
how
push
to talk
your button.
To a lady. We are not suitable.
Right. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here because this is the first I've ever heard this, that a woman will not fall for a pickup line. Sir Ben, so does that mean if the woman doesn't fall for the pickup line, then how are we as men supposed to pursue them? I mean, do we camouflage and say, hello, well, you know, you look pretty intelligent today. I can't even make this one up. Sir Ben, come on in. How do we get them? Dave.
Well, see, I got to be honest with you. I was the nerd. I was the church, you know, kid. We didn't get to, you know, we only knew the people we were around. And so we didn't get to be out here and with dealings with everybody. So, you know, honestly, I probably would not have been attracted to 90% of the women because I was kind of quiet and I was kind of, you know, reserved. And I like to talk about, intelligent things. And as you see, I'm still kind of way out there. But I just, you know, it's just funny that I didn't have a pickup line. I didn't have any of that. And now that I'm older, it you know, and I still have the same conversations, and they're like, oh, well, that's very interesting. You know, people want to be engaged with somebody that gives them something that they don't know about or can have a conversation about something interesting that I like about. I've been gifted to be able to talk about almost everything. I don't know. That's just the gift that God has given me. But it's different now. It's different. Had I had those lines, I used to have friends that had those lines, and I was always like, man, how did you know to say that? But, you know, when I got older, I realized that it wasn't so good. You know, they didn't ever end up with nobody of any quality or character. They just always went through people. And so that's not what I wanted in life. I wanted stability. I wanted a suitable person that I can actually enjoy and talk to. And they just wanted a quick, subtle hit and go and miss. And, you know, hey, it works for them. It's all right. But that's okay. I don't have an issue with what people like.
Right. And see, that's the key right there. When we talk about suitability, and like Ms. J is saying, she didn't like the lines. But the line, and Sir Ben, I hear what you're saying, you know, but I had to learn from others. I was that nerdy kid also, that church boy, and but I wasn't catching any girls with that. Not to say
didn't
that the church
those
boys
lines.
Were bad. Huh?
Didn't about like those lines. You was old school. Didn't about tell you how you should talk to the ladies. You know, they
want
a conversation.
Right, but here's the thing, Ms. J. Here's the thing, though. I had to learn those lines from the older guys.
That's
that those lines worked. Those lines worked on, and of course, it's not for everybody, but when we talk about suitability, you got to find the girl that is like the men. You got to find the girl that will go for those lines. And then I started using those lines, and it was like magic. The girl, you could really get their attention. They like the compliments. And, you know, and you have that conversation with them where, you know, I wasn't the smartest kid, so I got to act like, I mean, the smart girls and the pretty girls whom I always liked, it's like, you got to sound. They always seem to like the guys who seemed intelligent, even had a little bad boy in them. And so I modeled that. And it's like, that's what the girls like. You got to act like you know, so you learn one or two or three things that sound intelligent. I was already the nerd. So then you got to sound like an intelligent nerd, but have the bad boy image, but at the same time have those lines. Miss J, when I went from that nerdy church boy, and I'm not saying that I became a demon, but with the lines, it was like doors begin to open. So Miss J, you're saying that I wouldn't have been able to open your door.
Not with lines like that. If you was to, you know, meet me and, okay, if you tell me that I look nice today, and then you come off with an intelligent remark after that, you know, ask me what is my plan for the day or where am I headed or something, get a conversation going with me. Those lines, that's cheesy. I don't like all that.
Right.
Real cheesy.
But, Ms. J, believe it or not, watch this now. I've even learned, and I've seen guys do this here, and the girls love them. Walk by there and say, girl, you must be having a bad, you must have been through that hurricane because that hurricane really left you with a bad hair day. And then you just walk off. And you're like, excuse me, what did he just say? And then you turn around. Before you know it, you want to know who he is, and now you're dating him.
I don't know who those girls are. It's one of the bad boys that be doing that, and the girls like the bad boys, I guess. But I don't think I would have been dating because I was thinking he was rude. Now
Sir Ben,
he came back and said, I'm just teasing your hair, look wonderful. I was just trying to get your attention. You know, you got to come back from it. You can't just walk away.
Okay. Sir Ben was saying, I apologize. I have tried those lines, and it did work. Sir Ben. Have you ever tried to use the reverse psychology on them? And we're talking about suitability here, just to get that woman to give her something different that she wasn't expecting. You caught her off guard. Sir Ben?
Yeah, I tried that one time, but the reverse didn't, it got reversed on me. That's what happened. And I was so embarrassed, and I said, I ain't going to never, ever, ever, ever do that again.
see, you got to have that suave, you got to have that look, you got to have that everything when you're trying to do something like that, because, you know, it can't just be, you know, you can't just be the average Joe and trying to throw some lines like that. You know, you're a pretty good-looking, handsome, tall, you know, but see, the regular Joe guy, he got to stay in his lane and stay on his page, because when you get off your page, you susceptible to be like a fly and get swatted out, and I don't like being turned out like that. That's not my thing, but so I just, you know, I just
right,
let my light shine, and that's it.
All right, so we're talking about suitability. Why do you think God said it is not good that the man should be alone? Let's go to, once again, to some of the phone lines. Let's go to, it's not coming up in the queue. Let's go to seven. We're going to call out six numbers of your number, and just give us your name, 732-890. Who do we have with us, and welcome? 732-890. Or perhaps you're just listening in. All right, let's go back to Darren Deedy, let me just ask you, we're talking about suitability here. Darren Deedy, did those pickup lines work for you? It's like, girl, you got to be, you're the apple of my eye. Come on, Darren Deedy, seriously?
No, it actually was a turnoff. I prefer normal conversation, you know, things that interest me or things that interest him, you know, in an open conversation, a dialogue, not no, hey, baby, love your eyes, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not into that. Yeah. That's kind of like I would laugh and be, you know, cordial, but yeah, no, you're not going anywhere with me with
that cheap talk. Oh, this is really interesting. Ms. Cross, I want to bring you in here. Ms. Cross, I mean, this is the first I've ever heard of this here where the ladies didn't go with the pickup lines. I mean, I used to write poetry. So, Ms. Cross, if I gave you a poetic line, just four lyrics to it, that wouldn't grab your attention?
Wow.
Don't be influenced by the other ladies. Go ahead. What are you thinking?
Lady J, she made me laugh so much. She's funny. I got so many different lines, but that doesn't mean I fell for it. I just say thank you, you know, because one of them that you said, and I had to laugh, that angel must be missing an angel. No, heaven must be missing an angel. One told me that one time. I just smiled. But I never really fall for it. But I prefer to say something nice than say something mean about the bad here day. You know, but Lady J, she tickled me. Whatever she says, she makes me laugh. But I think that, you know, like, I would prefer them say something nice to me, you know, than to talk about, like, Your mom must be a terrorist because, you know, with a bomb, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know? But, I don't really fall for it, but I like to hear the nice things. I smile and say thank you, but I don't let it say, wow, this is it, you know.
Some line that a man used, and Miss Jade, there was some line that got your attention with this guy, even a conversation, because anybody can just talk, but it's like it's something that you decide that will trigger you and say, this is the guy that I'm going to accept into my world.
You know,
Miss J, come on.
Let me tell you a little quick story. Sweet talk with me. I met my husband my second day in college. And back then, we wore beanies, and we had to address the upperclassmen as big brother. And we had to say our name was Dog something. So anyway, my husband was down at the bottom of the stoop, and him and a bunch of guys, and they want to know my name. I said, my name is Dog J. And then my husband, the way he came off to me, he said, oh, no, don't say dog to me. I just want to know your name. It's the way he came off. So don't ever say that to me. What is your name? I said, oh, it's Jeanette. You know, I told him my name. He said, then we got a nice conversation. But the other guy was talking all crazy to the other ladies. But he told me, no, don't say that. Now, that's what I like. He became very polite and sweet, and he won my heart.
See, Miss Jay, that's what I'm talking about. But it was a line, and he just go. It's the way we are saying.
Because he was polite and sweet. It wasn't the line; it's just the way he talked, and he didn't want me to talk down about myself.
Okay, all right. But he knew what he was doing.
Oh yeah, he knew. He was
knew what he was
talk.
Doing.
I loved it.
We always, as men, we know what we're doing when we like that one. And even if we pass by you and say, the hurricane, what hurricane you been through, girl? Because you having a bad hair day. And it must be rough. And then we walk off. And then even, and just like you said, if you look back and say something to us, and then now I got your attention. That's all we sometimes need is your attention.
Yeah.
And either we're going to make you mad or you're going to smile. But either way, we got your attention. And then turn around. Oh, listen, I was just joking with you. Girl, let me tell you something. Your hair looks like it's you just stepped out of Essence magazine. It was so beautiful. And all I was doing was trying to look in your beautiful eyes and get your attention. That's all I was trying to do. And then to tell you my name. And then I keep it moving. Go ahead, Sir Ben. Sir Ben, come on now. Help me out here. Don't let me get in trouble by myself on the air. Sir Ben? I thought he was coming in. Okay. All right, go ahead.
I'm in.
All right, so now, Sir Ben, those lines, and we're still talking about suitability. We know somewhere along the way, we don't know initially if that's the woman that's going to be suitable for us. But it's the desires of our heart in that moment. So what else do we have? If we don't, our conversation is going to be something. It's like, okay, this woman here, we're sizing her up. And whether it's, no, don't talk to her that way, as Ms. J says. What's your name? What's your name? And then she melted just by that, probably that man's voice. But it was how he approached her. Okay, see, that's what I'm talking about. We know what to do, Miss J, because he probably heard you with somebody else.
And then that same breath, he say, "Can I come and see you this evening?" I said, "It's a free world. I can't stop you from walking over there."
that's what I'm talking about. That's what power to men. I mean, ladies, no disrespect, because you all are the gift. You are definitely the gift. Sir Ben, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
Well, maybe think a woman wants a strong man. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I think a woman just wants a strong man. And I know that everything has changed and society has changed. And, you know, the whole, baby boy mama thing is still going on. But really, a woman needs a man that she can look up to and she could see, not just today and tomorrow and the physical. Hey, can he take care of me? Hey, can he put me in the house? Hey, can he help me, be better at being who I am? And if you're not answering those questions, you don't want the young man on the couch playing games at 35 and 40. You want that young man that's got, desires and dreams and goals and wants to make sure you're taken care of, to make sure that if your car gets in trouble, no, baby, we got to get you another car because I need to make sure you're safe. You want somebody who's going to just give you the desires of your heart. Your daddy gave him to you, so now you want somebody who's going to treat you even better than your daddy did. And so that's what I think most women would really like to have. Now, do they get that? No. But at least in their mind, they have an indication of they just want a good, solid, strong man, Not these little weak puppet type people no more. That doesn't really work very well. But, that's why we keep switching and changing and, but that's okay. It's all right, too, because everybody's got to, what's the old song? Everybody plays the fool sometimes. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yes, of course I know that song very well. So, all right, we're almost out of time now before we're going to have Ms. J close us out tonight on the topic. Why do you think God said that it was not good for man to be alone? Marjorie Cross, I want to bring you in with this next scenario, 20 seconds or less because we're almost out of time. This party says, I think it's because man can't always take care of himself and he needs someone to take care of him or to look after him. Marjorie Cross, do you think that men can't take care of themselves and he's got to have somebody to take care of him?
I think some men are more independent than others. Some are more dependent. So I don't think not all men though. Some men may need help, and some of them very independent.
All right, we go to the next scenario, Darren Didi. We'll give you this scenario. When you think about it, who wants to be alone? I really believe that it's better when you have someone whom you can relate to, and get to enjoy that person. God knows best for all of us. And that's why he gave Eve to Adam. What do you think about that? Who wants to be alone?
Yeah, I agree with that. He probably saw, I mean, he had no one to talk to, no one to share his food with, or if that's what you're asking me.
Yeah, yeah. So the Endearing DD, you know, with men, we have so many options. Yes, we do. And they become even thinner when we start to put preferences to it. But then if the women, but you find more, the data shows that you find more women alone than you find men alone, because men can just go and get a woman that may not even be suitable for him, but at least he has a woman. So what about when the woman is alone? How do you deal with that?
It's a good question. It's probably because there's, you know, of course there's more women than men. So, and I can go down other avenues, but I won't. But
right.
Yeah, and maybe it's women are, I would have to say, if I could just, real quick thought that hit into my head is, we're intelligent. And like I said, we're Rosie the Riveters. We're us women, we can do it all. We really, you know, we don't feel like we need a man. But then again, there's the man. I think they feel they need a woman because it's all a mother, from a motherly thing. They can't do things by themselves, or they can't feel loved by themselves.
Okay, but women are born of mothers too. Is there a difference?
I know, but we're more nurturing, shall I say?
Right.
And men are used to being nurtured, you know, from the female.
Okay.
I don't know. Like I said, it's just a thought that came to my head, so I don't want to create a whole spider web of my thoughts.
All right. Sir Ben, 20 seconds or less, because we got to close the show tonight. 20 seconds or less, please. This one says, I think God said that it's not good that a man should be alone. I think this also applies to God not having intentions for the woman to be alone. That's just how I see it, even though I believe that women can do a better job of taking care of themselves more than men can. So God's intention was not for the woman to be alone, or was it? Or I want to even stretch this a little bit more and say, in your opinion, do you think that maybe God's intent was to allow or to permit men to have several women, since there are so many? Just quickly, though, Benny, from the block.
Okay, I'm going to go back to my original comment. We were designed to either be married or be in community. Women are more community-type people. You always see women getting together in groups, girlfriend chats, this, that. They're always together. So there's not a necessity, if they don't have a husband or spouse, to say that they're missing that, because they have a community of them that can get together and spend time together. Men, on the other hand, we're not so much as community as women are. But with that being said, I think that women have a different design makeup, that if there's not a man around, there's always a mother, a sister, a cousin, a girlfriend. There's always a group of them together that can help strengthen and encourage each other, where men, not so much. So that's, I think he made them differently.
All right. Marjorie Cross, I want to bring you in here because, I mean, here we are. We're talking about the women. But then the data shows that more than in certain cultures, 42% of the women will never get married. 42% will never get married. So here we're looking at, this person says, I think the bottom line is a man would not be happy without the woman. As such, the woman completes the man. Marjorie Cross, just quickly, 15 seconds or less. Do you think the woman completes the man and the man doesn't complete the woman?
I think it could work both ways. That's the way I feel.
Okay. All right, good. All right, then we're going to close it out with Ms. J. Ms. Day, I'm going to throw two of them at you here. Marjorie Cross, let me give you one of those, and then we're going to, Ms. J., the final one to close it out. This comment is, I think that the woman is the gift from God for the man. She is his helpmate, which means she's there to help him and not be his superior or inferior to him, but his equal. Marjorie Cross, is she his equal?
Yes, I think he is. She is. She's his companion and she's his equal. They should work 50-50.
All right,
that's
very good.
Ms.
Day, we're going to give you the final one to close us out. Everybody needs someone to communicate with, because having a conversation with yourself is not fun. My question is, does this mean you have to have a significant other, or can you just have friends? Ms. Day, on that note, do you have to have a man or a woman, or can you just have friends as help me? Close us out, Ms.
You can just have... Okay, to communicate, you can just have friends or people, strangers or whoever to communicate with. You know, communicate with everybody is good. But to close us out tonight, let's see. I'm going to say that God, he wants us to love and to be loved by someone. He wants us to have the most suitable or compatible person for us. And we should always remember the importance of woman to man and vice versa in order for us to become one flesh. That's what he wants us to be. Even in today's time, I do feel that man should not be alone. I feel that we should be talking to God all the time and listen to him because he's the one to help us to find that suitable person. Don't just take it upon yourself to do it. And every man and woman that approach you, they may not be that helpmate for you. And like Benny mentioned earlier, I think it was, a helpmate can be, and I'm saying these words, they can have emotional needs, spiritual needs, a physical need, and don't necessarily be a man to be your helpmate. It can be these different type needs. And even with these needs, man is still not alone. When it comes to whether it's man or all these other needs that I mentioned, you are still not alone. And that's what God wanted for us, not to be alone. And I've ended.
All right. All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all for joining us. We certainly hope and trust that you have enjoyed your one-hour inspiration program. Please join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. If you choose to bypass next Thursday's programming, we'll be back here next Friday for your one-hour inspirational program. Until next Thursday, until next Friday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night, Dr. Wolf. Have a good great night. Evening. Good night, everyone. Great show and great closing, Lady J. Mr. J, you had me laughing today. God bless you all. Keep well and keep safe, everyone. Thank you.
Yes, great show and happy Sabbath, everyone.
Yeah, same to you all. You'll call me if you need me. Thank you. Bye-bye.